97.9 The Hill, WCHL, and UNC School of Media and Journalism present Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. Sports Focus, dedicated to in-depth examination of issues of overriding importance in the sports world. Each week, we'll discuss problems and look for solutions in professional, collegiate, and amateur sports. From Carroll Hall on the Carolina campus, here's your host, UNC Journalism Professor Charlie Tuggle.
Welcome to Sports Focus. Our topic today, the ongoing national anthem controversy in the NFL. Our guest, Jim Steig, former high-level league official, a man many have called the godfather of the modern-day Super Bowl. So, Jim, I want to read the opening line from an article in the New York Times in what I think is the understatement of the year. The NFL cannot seem to get away from the divisive national anthem issue. No, duh. Why can't the league get away from this?
Well, coming up right now, we're on the two-year anniversary of this thing going forward. I think the first time Kaepernick kneeled was like first or second week of August 2 years ago. And I think what happened at that point in time, on both sides of this equation, it was never properly addressed in any way, shape, or form. Kaepernick, as you know, dealt the first game, nobody saw anything, nobody did anything. The second game, all of a sudden, somebody noticed in the press box, who's that guy kneeling? And at that point in time, he hadn't explained anything that he was doing, why he was doing or anything like that. And it took the media to ask him what was going on. He hadn't addressed it with his fellow players, coaches, management, that sort of stuff. So that's part of the problem. The second part of the problem it exists as the league has never really figured out how to address this. And part of this goes to the fact that their relationship with the Players Association across the board is not that good. And they don't have a trust that's built up with that. Tried to buy it with $80 million being given to charities and things like that to do that. But I don't think anybody truly trusted what was taking place with that. So that's been going on. And then let's put the wild card in there, of course, is the president. Who realizes that this is probably a good thing for his base to take this on and change the rhetoric exactly what it was being done and to keep bringing up. And the league and the players themselves don't know how to respond to that. And every time they – whatever position they take, you know, he twists it another different way. And so they're kind of playing response to what's taking place there. So – yes, it's been 2 years now, and quite honestly, I don't think there is a resolution that's right now acceptable across the board to get anything done that's going to solve it.
So let's look at it this way. There is a Players Association for a reason. It's not like the owners, the league, doesn't know this group exists. How do you come up with a policy that you haven't talked to the players about?
Well, I think what they tried to do was instead of engaging the NFLPA, which they should have, and their relationship with them is not good, which bodes badly for the next 2 years when the collective bargaining agreement's up. But by not engaging them and trying to go around them and deal individually with players and those that were the most vocal players out there to try to get them to sit down and discuss it and not engage that has caused where we are right now, finally, you know, 2 years later, finally sitting at the table with the NFLPA and the NFL. It would kind of be in a similar nature, I guess, if it was there that you'd say that, okay, the players are going to deal with individual presidents of teams rather than dealing with the league office because they don't get along with the league office. And I just think that's one of those things that has never been really – that relationship has been bad now for a while.
So if you have the players deal with the president or GM or whoever of the individual teams, don't you wind up with 32 different policies?
That's about what it comes down to. You don't reflect everything that's a consensus of everybody. There's no doubt on any issue that you've got, you're always going to have a minority that's going to be against what the resolution is going to be. It can be very vocal or it can be silent. But I think in this case, what you want to do is you want to deal with the people that deal with the entirety of the group, all 1,600 players, and not turn around and separate out a few. Now, teams have tried themselves to resolve it internally. They never really address it themselves. Some of those owners have bad relationships or non-existent relationship with their players, which is a problem in itself. I've never quite understood that, because I think one of the reasons that you own a football team is the relationship you have with your, you know, your players and your coaches, which is different than everybody else.
Do they even, just to get off on a quick little rabbit trail, do they really want a relationship with their players, or do they want these guys just to make them money and that's
– Well, I think that may be the case now of this generation of owners. I can look back, and yes, those were the guys that you wanted to go play golf with. You know, if I was in San Diego like I was, the ability to go play golf with Drew Brees or hang out with Dan Fouts or, you know, get to know Lance Allworth really was something that made you, elevated you to a different level than everything else. But there are a group of owners now that that's just not something that they're part of. I mean, the players are part of the product and that they're managing. They're not necessarily relationships that they want to do. And what's interesting, I think, is those teams that are the most successful are the ones that have figured out how they get along with their players and how they deal with the ones that treat them as just, you know, the product, then what happens is that that's the ones that don't succeed. So this has always been a people business and will always be a people business. And I think that's part of where this whole thing that we're going about right now on the Anthem issue, where it separates, is we, those that separated from being a people business have really affected the result.
Sports Focus, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sports Focus. We're talking with Jim Steig, former NFL official, not the sports official, but an official for the league, about the ongoing national anthem controversy. So, Jim, I want to get into the idea of First Amendment rights. We all have First Amendment rights, which says the government, Congress specifically, shall make no law abridging the free expression of whatever it is you believe in. Don't businesses, though, have a right to monitor the conduct of their employees?
Well, absolutely. You've got it across the board. You know, I can't think of a business that exists out there that there aren't some sort of rules that you've got working for that business that, it, you know, that if you're not playing within their guidelines and their rules, it's cause for termination. Or, you know, it's going to hinder you and your advancement in your career, that type of thing. So, absolutely, I think it's a private business. So, private businesses have that opportunity. Should you've got that here at the university, you know, you violate the, you know, domestic violence issue or something here, there's cause for the president to turn around and terminate you as an employee of the university or something like that. So, there's always rules and laws.
So, is this really a First Amendment issue?
I don't think so. I think it's a presentation issue. I think it's what it is. It went off on a different tact. You know, it was hijacked to some degree initially by the owners when the cause was out there. And then it was hijacked, obviously, by the president at that point to try to make this a patriotic issue about standing up in the military and all those type of things. And you've seen, ironically, if you take where we were last week at the All-Star game, there is no doubt that Major League Baseball went down a whole different tack at the All-Star game, wrapping themselves around the flag, bringing back all the Medal of Honor winners and things like that to make it look like, you know, they are patriotic and they want to do it. Now, the NFL has always been that way. I mean, remember they got in the controversy 2 or 3 years ago when they were getting the military to pay them in order to do flyovers at the stadium and things like that. So that was a little bit of greed what was taking place. But, you know, having been involved in the Super Bowl, you know, it was always kind of at times, whether that was Super Bowl 25 when we were first Iraq War or whether it was after 9/11, you know, you totally wrapped yourself in patriotism at that. And I think that's where this got hijacked to a large degree and made it into a different issue than what it is.
Is it that history of the NFL that makes this such a difficult problem now? Because the NFL has been very patriotic, and now some of its players, by some fans, are seen as not at all patriotic. So does the history of the league play into what's currently going on?
I think to some degree. I think the biggest issue that you've got now is where we are media-wise and everything. The fact that you can express an opinion, put it out on Twitter on something like that, and it can have a life of its own, whether that's right, wrong, or indifferent. Social media has affected all these things. So people that are saying things, they've taken out of context, people, whatever the case may be that's going on there, have changed the way that this has happened. You know, the president has done a great job of putting his thoughts out on Twitter, and everybody, obviously, I mean, how many millions of people are on his Twitter account following what's going on all the time. So the same thing holds with players. You know, clubs have not been able to done that well. So that's kind of where you get your opinion of what's taken place there. And it just – I think that the issue itself that was out there originally with Kaepernick was so poorly communicated to what it was at the beginning. You know, if he would have sat down with the media or with somebody and said, listen, I've got this problem with, you know, black-on-black crime, and I've got problems with incarceration of African-Americans.
Police brutality.
Police brutality, all that type of stuff. If he would have said that from day one and got it out there, probably would have had a total different reaction than kind of dribbling it out. Now, he's gotten honored by a lot of groups lately for having done all this, but was not managed very well in the process at the beginning, I don't think.
So if a team or the league were to say, this is conduct detrimental to the league, doesn't that team or the league have a right to say that?
Oh, I think so. And what's happened now and what happened with the Dolphins in the course of the last week was that they have to delineate according to what their relationship with NFLPA is all finable offenses and things like that have to be delineated in the playbook when they're handed to them at the beginning of the year. So there's a section of that which causes everything from being late to meetings costs you this to, you know, missing an airplane costs you this. And now what happened with the Dolphins is they put, if you kneel for the anthem, it's going to cost you this or something like that. And whether you enforce that rule or not, who knows? I mean, we've got Julio Jones supposedly getting fined $40,000 a day right now for not showing up at training camp. Undoubtedly, that will be forgiven at some point in time. But, you know, that's certainly delineated right there in the playbook. This is what it's going to cost you if you do it. It's delineated in the collective bargaining agreement that this is what's going to take place. So, yeah, I think that you can lay those things out. And they're rules of operation. They're rules of the relationship you've got with your employees and what's taking place.
There is some there's a lot of discussion about how the anthem protests have hurt the league. Viewership, fans in the stands. The numbers really don't bear that out.
No, and I think the funny part of this was, you know, the Packers financials came out 2 weeks ago, which showed that their revenues are up and this sort of stuff. And I think they're up $455 million or something, which is a staggering number because I can remember when I started with the league when the Dolphins would come off two Super Bowls, we were grossing $5 million. So life has changed, but I don't think it affected anything. Listen, there are a number of things that affect viewership. And we could probably go on for 4 or 5 hours talking about all the issues that affect this one little segment and this one person watching it, all the way from NFL Sunday Ticket to too many games, run down the list. So to pinpoint one of them, and I think it's easy for somebody to say that this issue is turning so many people off. Again, social media gives you the ability for one person to say, I'm cutting the cord, I'm not watching this anymore. Because of this, okay, that I agree. Everybody's got a different reason. But let's understand that an NFL fan is not a defined person. It is multitudes of personalities out there that watch the NFL for a variety of different reasons. And to say that any one of them is one reason why it's taking place is wrong. But I do think that it's a factor. It's certainly something that's talked about. And it's an easy factor right now for the media to go. And we know we've seen it, like you said, the New York Times story this week. And it's going to be written about for the next 2 months without any shadow of a doubt as we go through the preseason, as we go through the beginning of the regular season.
Sports Focus, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sports Focus and our discussion with Jim Stee, former NFL official, about what's going on in the NFL right now, particularly as it concerns the anthem protests. So, Jim, financially, this really does not seem to have hurt the league. But from a PR perspective, it certainly has, at least with some segment of the fan base.
There's no doubt about that. And the financial impact, let's make it easy. That, again, looking at the Packers' financials, which is the only thing we've got out there publicly, shows that they had $255 million of national revenue that they got out of everything. That number's up. Their local revenue is another $200 million, and that number was up. So the Packers may be an aberration because this issue wasn't as big in Green Bay, but it is the heartland, a little bit more in Wisconsin and as other places. So I think that that impact that you had on those people doesn't show, and it may not show for a year or two. You know, the TV contracts are locked in. They're going for two more years. It's not like the network saying, well, you affect my viewership, and so all of a sudden I'm going to pay you less. You paid a specific rights fee. So revenue-wise, it's not going to do it. PR-wise, it's got a definite impact. And the league and a lot of things in all sports were built on PR. I mean, I hate to say it, back in the old days, the joke was, you know, Pete Rozelle's initials were PR. And that's a lot of what everything was done around that, was to make sure you had the right image out there that you wanted. And you wanted everybody to do it. And you wanted the kids to grow up, you know, aspiring to play or to watch or do whatever it is. And so I think every time you take a little chink out, you know, the concrete that's there at the foundation, it can hurt you. You never know what the chink is going to be that's going to cause things to come tumbling down. But the toughest thing with the NFL is they are number one. The other guys are so far behind. So you're always going to take a shot at number one. But you've got to be careful of what is the one piece of the foundation that can cause you to tumble. We can look back 40, 50 years ago, baseball was number one by far, and the NFL surpassed Major League Baseball. So you have to look what happens.
All right, so you've mentioned the president a couple of times, and one of his more recent tweets, he called for a season-long suspension. I mean, this player is gone for the season if he kneels more than once. How do you, as a team or as a league, put something like that into place when it's, let's say, it's the star? The star of the team kneels twice because he feels strongly about some social issue, and it's like, see you later. So the president and those who are inclined to disagree with the stance that the players are taking. How do you the NFL seems to me to be between a rock and a hard place.
Oh, yeah. This is not going to be solved. There's no solution here. If you could throw out the magic elixir that was going to cause it to be solved, it probably would have been done. There's no solution. They throw money at it. They tried to throw dealing with people. Now they're going to try to deal with the PA and try to come up with some sort of decision. They've told the owners, if you've noticed, shut up. We don't want you talking. We don't want no more Bob McNair comments. We not, you know, all this stuff. We don't want you talking about it in any way, shape, or form. And you saw the feedback that happened with Michael Bidwell, you know, a couple of weeks ago when the president nominated a guy to the Supreme Court who turned out to be a high school, you know, affiliate with Michael Bidwell there in Washington, and he supported him for his nomination. And all of a sudden everybody attacked him. He told us not to be political. And now you're turning around supporting him. Well, it was a little bit iffy because the guy was a lifelong friend type thing. I think it's the issues that you get into with these guys and what's going to take place and what action you're going to take has got to be weighed. I mean, you've always got that. And I said, having been with a team, you like to say you've got one set of rules for everybody. You don't. If your star quarterback does something, you know, I hate to go back to like North Dallas 40. You know, the wide receiver got attacked, not the quarterback, for what he was doing. There's a different set of rules for everybody that's taken place in this. And I'm sure during the days when the president owned the New Jersey Generals, if Herschel Walker had done something wrong, he wasn't going to suspend Herschel Walker.
So 15 seconds. It hasn't hurt the league, but it has hurt Kaepernick and Reed and others who have been so vocal. Do you see that as being worth it? Did they make this stand? Did they feel strongly enough about it that they make this stand?
Well, anytime you make a statement like that, and anytime you get involved, there's the usually in history, that's been the people get hurt the most are the ones that take that stance, and they get affected some way, shape, or form. It's across the board of what's taking place. And I think the teams have looked at them, and you know, they don't want somebody there. They don't want their backup quarterback to be getting more attention than their starting quarterback is what it comes down to.
That does it for this edition of Sports Focus. Thanks to our guest, Jim Steig, Thanks also to engineer Gary Kirk. And as always, thanks to you for listening. Cheers.
Thanks to Richard Southall, Mark Nagel, and Deborah Southall at the College Sport Research Institute at the University of South Carolina for their research and guidance and for access to CSRI's international network of sources. Sports Focus is the service of UNC School of Media and Journalism.